Welcome to Career Tools. This week, when to ask for a pay rise, or as we like to say in America, when to ask for a pay raise. Here we go. For those of you who don't know, we're combining the Career Tools and Manager Tools licenses so that now you can get all of Career Tools and Manager Tools licensed material for one price rather than having to buy them separate. Please come to the website and learn more. Okay, so we haven't talked a lot about compensation.
We
have plenty to say, but a lot of people ask us, okay, how do I get a pay raise? How do I ask? And I joked at the beginning of the cast, I titled this Pay Rise, which is what you wrote it, because in Britain, they say pay rise, but in America, we say pay raise. I don't know what they say in Afghanistan.
I don't know what they say anywhere else, but I'm quite sure I've got it wrong all the way through the show notes.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
We'll just use the
British English. I'm sure in Afghanistan, actually, they probably say rise, the equivalent. And so this cast is about when to ask. And the problem is a lot of people say, well, I need more money. There's all kinds of motivations, and they don't ever think about communication is what the listener does. There are times to ask.
Pay rises is what your boss does.
Yeah, and there are times to ask that are a lot more effective. And most people's rationales for when to ask are bad.
Yeah.
Right? And we think of our boss as having the power to change it. There are a great many things that go on in getting you a pay raise or a pay rise that are not in control of your boss. Mm-hmm. And often your boss isn't in control and may have to ask someone else. Particularly if you're an individual contributor, managers simply don't have the ability in the middle of the year to make a change.
No.
So therefore, the question becomes, how can we reduce the chances that he or she can simply say no out of hand because I'm going to go to a lot of work and you haven't given me a good enough reason?
Yeah.
We're going to cover this in step by step, right? And the first one is when to ask and what's our guidance?
Okay, so hit a home run first.
You mean work-related results home run.
A results home run first.
And then ask.
Yeah. And then ask.
Good.
And then never use a non-results-related reason. Non-results-related reasons are not
which
helpful
we'll
to
talk
you.
About some of them. We'll talk about some of them, and almost all of them are non-results, and almost all of them are selfish.
Exactly.
Right? Good. Okay, so hit a home run first. That's pretty easy guidance, right?
Yeah, just do that, right?
Right.
And so, if you haven't hit a home run lately, then start working on getting some results.
If you want
that
to pay,
will impress your boss.
So the hidden guidance here, folks, is if you're thinking about asking for a pay raise and you haven't hit a home run, don't ask. Start thinking about what results you can deliver that will cause your boss's eyebrows to raise so that he or she would say, wow, that was a home run. And if you're not an American baseball aficionado and that doesn't translate, what we mean is deliver some significant outsized results. Yep. You don't have to wait a whole year, right? You don't.
No.
It doesn't have to be a year's worth of results. You can simply deliver big on a project, cost reduction, revenue improvement, process improvement, something like that. Yeoman's work, really, really high quality work that other people are noticing it. The kind of thing where your boss would say in front of the team, I just want to point out Wendy, she did a great job on X or Y or Z. Thank you, Wendy. Really, really well done. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But there's more, right?
There is.
Yeah.
A pay rise is aren't a given. You don't just get one for being there the next year, for another year. Although in some places you actually do.
Well, you get cost of living increases, which people think of as a pay raise. And in the company, in compensation and benefits, they don't think of that as a pay raise at all. They think of that as a cost of living adjustment, which is generally done, ladled, it's sort of spread across the board.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And you don't get a pay rise for just doing your job. Because if you're
and
doing...
many people assume that. Right.
Exactly. If you are doing your job to the same level that you did it last year, and the company has grown 5%, you didn't just stay the same. You didn't just do your job. You went backwards by 5%. So now not only are you not deserving of a pay raise because you're just doing the job they pay you for, you're worth less than you were last year.
Yeah.
So there is no reason for the company to give you a pay rise. And in fact, they should be asking for your money back.
Yeah, for their money back.
Yeah. And I bet none of you want to do that.
Right. So. Yeah, people don't realize how one-sided it is, right? That it's not a matter of we're going to pay you based on your performance. And if you underperform, we're going to take money away, right? It's all an advance on your performance. That's what, and in fact, that's part of the reason why companies pay at the end of the month. And it's very different for a salaried employee versus an hourly employee in terms of how we pay and how you get paid and so on. And most people are just clueless. If you're salaried, you probably have no idea how compensation and benefits work. You probably don't even know Most people don't know what internal compression is. They don't know how you figure it. They don't know why it happens. They don't understand what goodwill is, all of which is figured in and so on.
Yeah,
if you want a 5% pay raise and the company's trying to grow at 5%,
in simplistic math,
you've got to do 5 plus 5 more.
Yeah.
You've got to improve by 10%.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we've got a few examples just to help you understand what that would look like.
Right.
So an accountant would not only have to have kept the books straight for a year, because that's his job, and found 5% savings or additional revenue, because that's helping the company grow by 5%, but also have brought in an improvement project on time and on budget.
To justify.
Because that's their extra 5%.
Exactly.
For another example, so a contractor remodeling your kitchen would have had to do the project on time and on budget, because that's what you expect, found 5% savings on materials, because that's the 5% of growth,
right,
and also suggested 5% worth of value in changes to the layout that makes your life easier, or the project cheaper or easier, and there would have to be no snag list. So all of that, he would have had to do his job and improve your life and not made any extra mistakes, in order for you to pay him over and above what he said he was going to pay.
There's a great example of this that most people won't get, but it does relate to it theoretically, or at least conceptually. A number of years ago, there was a huge earthquake in Los Angeles. Los Angeles, where I grew up, is famous for its freeways. Everybody's freeway commuting all the time. It's a car environment. And many of the freeways were damaged. The bridges were down and so on. And literally it brought the LA, Los Angeles economy to a halt. People couldn't get to work. People were taking 3-hour commutes on side streets that were just impossible. And a major road company, construction company, said, I can rebuild them, and I can rebuild them in like 5 or 6 months, which apparently the road departments, the municipal road department, said it's going to be a 2-year project and we're going to have to stage it and everything else. And he said, I can do it in 5 months. And they couldn't believe it. And he said, but if I do it in 5 months, I want a $1 billion bonus. Now, this is a gigantic project that's going to cost billions anyway, but he wanted a $1 billion bonus. But the amount of time he was going to save was worth tens of billions to the economy, in terms of gas, not wasted gas, idling in traffic, and people being productive, and so on. And it was a literal no-brainer. And he knew exactly what he was doing, that just by getting his guys to work faster, there was no extra work, but there was a huge extra reward to the person who was purchasing, and he did it. And in fact, several of the people that were making the decision said, well, he won't be able to do it. Well, he just got the right crews, and he managed things carefully and pushed and pushed and pushed and got it done. And he shared the bonus, by the way, with many of the workers, and they were astounded and thrilled and loved it and so on. And then people complained, well, he shouldn't be getting the money. He should have done it that way anyway and so on. Yeah, that's the municipal part of it. That's the governmental and political part of it. But fundamentally, he wanted a raise after a fashion, right?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And he got one because it was a lot of work. And he did it.
And he did it in not half the time, but a quarter of the time that it would have taken.
Yeah, it was just incredible, the difference he made. Yeah.
Wow.
Now look, on the other hand, there are some people who would say, well, my boss has been gone and I've been doing part of his job.
Yeah.
That's not, generally speaking, right?
No. Generally, the reward for you doing part of your boss's job is not financial, it's the fact that it's preparing you for promotion.
Yeah.
You're getting experience, which will pay off financially in time.
Yeah.
So you don't get the money and the experience.
This is like my mom saying, every other kid who got straight A's, you know, they got paid for the A. My mom says, I'm not going to pay you for the A. The A is the pay.
Yeah.
You worked and you got the
either.
Reward. The reward is the A, is the sense of accomplishment. Same thing here. You don't get paid extra to do your boss's job. You're doing the work that's going to prepare you for the reward, which is the promotion, which, by the way, will come with a raise.
Yeah. And Danny tells a story where she told somebody, a colleague, of how she'd achieved something, and Danny talked the colleague through how she'd done what she'd done, and the colleague said, well, that sounds like a lot of work. Well, this sounds like a lot of work too, but if you want the pay raise, you have to do the work.
That's classic. And so what you're saying is, when she told the story, she was saying, the other person was essentially poo-pooing the idea that she was going to work that hard.
I'm not going to work that hard. I want the result, but I don't want to work that hard. Well, for all of you who said, yeah, I want a pay raise, I'm going to listen to this cast, and now you're saying, I don't want to work that hard.
Yeah, you can stop listening now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay, and then the opposite of that, just to be clear, and we're saying this because we need to address what most people use as a reason, is you can't use a non-work productivity, a non-results related reason, because what people say is, well, I deserve it. And that whole I deserve, it's in the category for me. This is a personal pet peeve. I should, right? Mm-hmm. They should give me. Anything time you say they should give me, you're on shaky ground in the professional world, right?
Yeah.
So what are some of the things that people say, or what are the things we want to steer people away from as the motivation? That if they start feeling that, we ought to say, no, come back and listen.
Don't tell your boss any of these. These are things that we've been heard, and not only do they not work, they get laughed at. So don't say this. Someone in my team makes more than me the same job.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. Life isn't fair, nor is the workplace. Be better than them. Hit a home run. Earn your pay rise and then ask for it.
And look, guys, we could spend an hour explaining to you how that happens, when they were hired, what job they had before, what industry they were coming from, whether or not they negotiated, which I'm sure I'll get email about. You guys say not to negotiate. We do. We're right. But anyway. But there's another factor, which is, how do you know that?
Oh, well, indeed.
And what do we know?
Self-reporting.
We know that when it comes to self-reporting, we take it with a grain of salt, or a gigantic block of salt that could feed, say, South Carolina. But there are two factors that when I think of that, I have a rule that is, if somebody's talking to you about their own pay, or they're talking to you about how many hours they work, I'm sorry to say this, guys, it sounds very harsh, but I say it a little bit tongue-in-cheek. If they're talking to you about their pay, or they're talking to you about how many hours they work, they're lying.
Yes.
If you believe, if somebody tells you, if you make 70 and somebody else tells you they're making 80, and you go to your boss and saying they're making more than me, and first of all, you have to admit it was self-reporting, and the boss rolls their eyes, because now you've just told the boss that person lied about their pay. Because generally speaking, people understand that people hear how much you're paid as your base salary, right? Even though there are certain complications and so on. But for the vast majority of people, the primary means of their pay is base salary. You've immediately said that person has violated an ethical rule, which we don't talk about pay. But it's worse than that, because you can't actually say the person lied, because your boss doesn't know necessarily that they didn't say total compensation. Now, your boss probably is smart enough, he or she's probably smart enough to know that person probably inflated. But I've told the story, I know I've told the story at least once, where I helped the guy get a job, and I talked to him and to the company, and I asked him what they offered him, and he says, oh, they offered me 125. And guys, I may have that number wrong, but excuse me for doing this, but my recollection is not that good. But I remember very clearly seeing the email from the company, which says, we offered him 111. And he said to me, 125. And I said, are you sure, 125? Because I have to bill them based on the thing. He says, oh, no, 125. Well, I called the company and said, he said 125. I don't know how he got that, because he was saying 111. Now, I've known the company for years, and so I knew I was going to bill them at the 111 rate. And what was interesting, he knew I would know.
Yeah.
By definition, he would know. And yet he still fudged. And now, you guys might say, well, you're being harsh on the guy. Yeah, you know, there are people who tell me I'm harsh and I'm demanding, and I get that. I'm used to it by now. It doesn't hurt my feelings. It doesn't make me feel great, but it doesn't hurt my feelings. On the other hand, nobody ever underreports.
No.
Right? I mean, he never said, oh, they only offered me 105.
Right?
They didn't. It's always over. It's always over.
It is. That's true.
Yeah. So someone making more than you, guys, you shouldn't know that. If you do know it, you're probably wrong. And if you do know it and you're probably wrong, we recommend you don't tell anyone else. And for all you know, they're doing a bunch of work that you don't do, and they're asked not to talk about it.
Yeah.
And that's not how companies make decisions like this within a certain pay band.
There are places where it's illegal for you to talk about your pay, and there are places where it's illegal for the company to withhold information about how much other people are paid. So,
just so you know, that went over the head of, when you say illegal, you mean that there are municipal or federal laws which prohibit it.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not true in America at all.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There may be company
in Europe,
policies. Yeah. Generally, company policies are, we don't talk about pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Or, you know, It may be that you know of it because there's a legal requirement for the company, but that still doesn't help you.
Well, this is like spy stuff. One of the things the CIA, I used to do stuff with the CIA, and it's like the fact that we know something and that they know we know is different than us telling them that we know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? It is. It's different. It validates something. It's a validation. They can spend less time in that area because of it. Just because you know something doesn't mean we recommend you tell someone else about that thing. Because that then tells that you know, which is different than them knowing that you know or thinking that you know, where there's too many no's in that sense. Right?
And as Covey says, stay in your circle of influence. You can't change their pay.
Yeah.
You can change yours by working harder.
Yeah.
So, next reason. It's been a while, so...
It's been
a year or two since I've had a pay rise. I ought to go ask for one. That's a really stupid reason. Don't go do that. So if it's been a while since you've got a pay rise, think about it this way. Has it been a while since you added any value to the team over and above what you've been doing?
Exactly.
Been
based coasting, on what the company says your job is worth.
Exactly.
Right. Since you go to work there, the amount of pay you take home is the amount you agree. In the marketplace, nothing has any value until it's bought or sold. At that moment, when it's bought and sold, that transaction establishes the value of that thing between those two people. The market is at a micro level inefficient, but at a macro level incredibly efficient. And that's the nature of culture as well. Culture is the adding up of thousands of small behaviors. Same thing in the marketplace at work, the economics between you and your company. If you come to work for a month and you cash that check, you're saying that work was worth that much. It's an exchange of goods and services for an economic reward, which is your pay. And saying it's been a while is to suggest that the market has moved on, which in fact may be true, but that is not in and of itself a good reason.
Yeah.
Because you've been accepting the pay the company's been giving you.
Exactly.
Good. Okay.
Next one. I need more. So like it, the company needs to pay me more. My family has got bigger. I need a better car. I want to move house. So the company needs to pay me more.
This is not, we're not an employment agency.
No.
Right. We exist to serve society. And if we don't serve society well enough to create more revenue such that we can maintain our margins and therefore give more of it to our people, we can't justify, as an entity whose leader's responsibility is to ensure the continuation of the entity, we can't justify paying anyone or in the abstract, everyone more simply because they need more. I will tell you, if somebody came to me and said they needed more, me as a manager, here are the thoughts that went through my head. You have managed your life poorly.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing.
Yep.
And you've put yourself in a situation where now you're attempting to transfer the mistakes you've made or the management problems you've made, the home problem, to me, which is an unacceptable thing because I don't transfer my home problems to you if I'm behaving professionally. Now, I know there's some of you are listening and going, but Mark, what happens about, there's a medical condition or something. Look, if you ask me as your boss, that's different than asking me as your friend.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, I was in an accident, and actually things have been tight here for the last year. My wife's been out of work and, I'm sorry I've been late the last couple of days. Can't afford to fix my car. Well, okay. How much money do you need? Well, I'd love a raise. No, I didn't ask you whether or not you wanted a raise. How much money do you need? I need $10,000. Okay. Here, you get it. Right. And that's me. As a person, as a coworker, as a colleague saying, this is not the company, this is me. Now, there are a lot of managers who would say what I just said is wrong, and we believe that's one of the beauties of manager tools, is you can still be an ethical, caring individual while still meeting the standards and requirements of being a professional in today's modern corporate or non-corporate, academic or governmental organization. I've told the story before about Louis Ranieri, the guy who invented mortgage bonds years ago. His wife got sick, he was making like $500 a month in the mailroom at Salomon Brothers. He never had any interest in a Wall Street career. His wife got sick, deathly sick, and needed medical care to the tune of $10,000, which was the equivalent of $1 million today. And he knew he'd have to quit his job or do something he couldn't do. And he was in school. He'd have to quit school and take another job. And he couldn't work this job and do that because this job was at night or something. And so he went to one of the partners and said, I'm terribly sorry. I've got this problem. I've got a bill. I don't know what to do. I can't pay it. And he says, well, thanks for letting me know. And then he went back to the partner later and the partner said, he says, I feel badly. I don't know what to do. And the partner says, well, it's taken care of. And Louis Ranieri said at the moment, he thought, my God, they're going to give me a loan. They're going to put the money in my, and I'm going to owe them forever. And I can't do that. This mm-hmm. is not my future and everything else. And he says, no, you can't. It was a partner's meeting. Mm-hmm. He had presented to the partners the situation he was in. It wasn't just one partner. And they said, no, you misunderstand, Mr. Ranieri. We've paid the bill. You owe us nothing. And he stayed there for years and years and years and years until the mortgage. This is long before he invented mortgages. So yeah, you can do that. You can show love and concern. But needing more is an admission of weakness that doesn't obligate the manager to change the pay structure of her team or you. You know what I mean? Now, that's not to say there aren't things that can be done, but you don't ask for a pay rise because something's happened at home.
Yeah.
Okay. What about inflation?
Inflation. So the way to think about inflation as to why this is a bad reason to tell your boss is if you were a shareholder of the company and inflation was eroding the company profits, which probably it is if you're having a problem with inflation, so is the company, would you increase salaries and further erode the profits? That would be a bad thing to do as a shareholder. Yeah. You'd be like, hey, company, I own part of you, and that's a stupid idea.
Right.
So that's what the company thinks. The company has an obligation to keep its profits at least stable during times of inflation.
Yeah.
And you asking for a pay rise doesn't help them.
Yeah.
So they're going to say no.
Yeah.
And the alternative is to deliver more, add more to the bottom line, and then ask.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
This is my favorite.
I know it is. I'm not even going to introduce it. I'll just let you talk about it.
And I've heard this, so it's true. My wife says so. My wife told me I had to come here and ask for a pay rise.
Yeah, this is why we have data that suggests that spouses of directs are they hate bosses more than anyone else. They're not the one that has to go to battle. They're not the one whose reputation is going to be damaged by saying my spouse says I should do this. Yeah.
It's just, you can work out for yourself. This is just a bad reason.
Yeah, let's just leave it right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Pay is what you get in return for the value delivered to the company. It is an inefficient system when it comes to you, but overall, the compensation systems of most companies are efficient in the sense that they keep them that way. If they're really, really grossly inefficient, they'll change them in some way. If you want to increase your pay, the organization assumes you know you have to increase your value first. In the same way that in the marketplace, that's what you're in. You're in an employment marketplace. Your company is in the products and service marketplaces, and a company that routinely increases its prices without adding value to the product that they're selling that you're adding price to is not going to do well.
Yeah.
They add value first, and then they increase prices. Actually, it's not that way. They build a better product, and they charge more for it. They don't charge more for the old product to be able to afford to build the new product. They build the new product investing, believing that they can charge more for it. And whether you like it or not, in the abstract, that's organizational economic theory and managerial economic theory 101. Mm-hmm. Anything other than doing more for the organization and expecting more pay is selfish and not organizationally wise.
Yeah. Right? And you're just only seeing it from your point of view and not seeing it from their point of view.
So hit a home run.
Yep.
Right.
And
sometimes that means your boss congratulate in front of everybody else for the light bulb to go on in your head and say, okay, good. And then make sure you don't ever use a non-results related reason. There are other ways to address your economic needs or personal needs or something besides asking the organization for a raise.
Yeah.
Okay. Wrap us up.
If you want to increase your pay, then start looking for places where you can add value.
Yep.
It's not a short-term project. And people think, okay, my bank account is empty. Oh, I better go ask for a pay rise. That's not how it works. You have to start working now for a pay rise in 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Half a year to a year.
Yeah. So start thinking about it now. Start thinking about where projects where you can deliver over and above. Do that work now and ask in 6 months.
I'm just going to say one more time, guys. Even if you think you're grossly underpaid, now that is not a reason to go ask for a pay raise. And some of you probably are frustrated by this. And this is Career Tools, and we're not afraid to tell you stuff that's hard to hear. But we know we're right, and we've seen a lot of people make this mistake. And it creates rifts between individuals and managers, and that's not a good thing because that manager is going to be there tomorrow when you go to work.
Absolutely.
Good. Okay, thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Hope you enjoyed it this week, folks. Come back next week. After all, it's Career Tools. and it's 2014 about, and you never know.